All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. I want to begin by thanking the sponsors of this morning, Shir, to thank Leah and Akiva Wechselbaum for dedicating the Shir in honor of their children, Yael and Shlomo Kanner, on the birth of their daughter, Nava Miriam, and in loving memory of their Oma's yard site on the fourth day of Hanukkah, Chana Bas Naftali. We hope that the Nesham will have an Aliyah, and that Emir Tesham, little Nava Miriam, will grow to be a true Bas Yisrael. Mazel tov, mazel tov. And also by Baruch Gross, in memory of his father-in-law, Avram Benish Ben Yechiel Yehuda. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an Aliyah, and the family a Nechama. All right, so we'll say with that, let's begin. A lot to do today. 1 second. Thank you so much. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Tess. We are picking up Emirat Hashem at the two dots on Ches Amud Beis. So today's page is 9. We are picking up at 8b at the two dots. So it says the Gemara. But it says continuing a little bit from yesterday's sugya. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We're going to come back. I know that I owe you the Shulchan Aruch on yesterday on Sakin Melubenes. So we will come back in Meretz Hashem and discuss that hopefully if we have time at the end. So the Gemara says as follows. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hatabach Tzarech Shlosha Sakinin. A butcher requires three different knives. Why three knives? Acha Sheshochet Ba. One is a shechit knife. So we'll say it appears that at least historically, at least the Gemara used Lashon of Tabach. Tabach we translate as a butcher, so we don't necessarily go ahead and assume that the butcher is the shochet, or the shochet is the butcher, although there is something to be said for the same person having the same person having both skill sets. So the tabach requires three knives. Achad sheshochet ba, one knife that he uses for shechita. Achad echad shemechatech ba basar, one knife that he uses to cut off the meat. The echad shemechatech ba chalavim. And one knife that he uses to go ahead and cut off the fats, specifically again the forbidden fats, the chalif. I says the Gemara. So the logic is okay. The shechita knife we always know has to be a separate knife because that knife again has certain specifications that other stam knives do not have. That I understand. The shaila is why two knives for the meat and the chalif. So the assumption we're based on yesterday's daf is the shanunis, right? Is the absorptions of the knife or the shmutz on the knife. So therefore, again, you have to have two separate knives. The Gemara says, I don't understand. The liskim achada, just set aside one knife for shechita, but just use one knife for both the chalav and the meat. And I have a very simple solution. What's a simple itza? Use the knife on the meat first and chalav second. Right? In other words, there's no issue with using the knife for chalav after meat. There's only the issue of using the knife for meat after chalav. So just go ahead and make sure to use the knife on the meat first and the chalav second. To which the Gemara says, "Gzeira shem yachtoch b'chalavin v'acharkach yachtoch b'basar." I would say because we're concerned that you may inadvertently come to use it first for chalav and then afterwards for meat. I says the Gemara, "Hashtanami michlafle." So I don't say the same concern should still apply now. Even if you have quote unquote separate knives, one for chalav, one for meat, shouldn't I be concerned that what you're going to accidentally mix them up? To which the Gemara says, "Kivan datzrichin utrei islehekera." Also, to which the Gemara gives an interesting answer. Once I know that I need two different knives, in other words, once I know that I require two different knives, then by definition, what? I realize that there's a hakpada to have two different knives, one for chilev, one for meat, and I'm going to be careful to keep them segregated. So the Gemara goes weiter. Similarly, the butcher requires two vessels, two utensils for water. One bucket of water to go ahead and clean the meat, and one to clean the chalav. You don't want the meat going into the chalav water because of the absorptions. So I understand again, I have a simpler eitzah. Use one bucket of water, and v'nadiach bo basar, v'nadiach bo chalavim, just be makbid to wash the meat first and the chalav second. To which the Gemara says, gzeru shami yadiach chalavim v'achakach basar. There's a concern that you may come to wash the chalav first and inadvertently come to wash the basar afterwards. Aye, hashtanami michlefile. But now, even with two buckets of water, are we not concerned that what? You may come to mix up the buckets and end up washing the meat in the chalav water. Kevan datzichini tarte. To which the Gemara answers, now that I'm required to have two, I recognize that halacha lemaisa, there is a hakpada, there is an insistence on having two different buckets of water, and therefore again, I'll be more makbid, I will make sure to use the right bucket for the right item. Good. Amar Amir Rashid Rav Papa. So we'll say, Amir says the name of Rav Papa. Interesting halacha. Lo lischof in shikafli iluye bisra v'do'iv tarba ubala bisra. So we'll say, Sigmar says something very interesting. A person should be very careful not to rest a side of meat. So we'll say, so when the Gemara talks about a side of meat, it's literally a side of meat. But for our purposes, what's important over here is it's a side of meat with the chalev still intact. The chalev is still intact. So the Gemara says, don't rest that side of meat with the chalev on top, with the chalev intact, on top of another piece of meat. What are we concerned about? So the Gemara says, D'do'iv tarbo bal babisra. Because we're concerned that the chalev will drip off the side of meat and will be absorbed into the piece of meat that it is resting upon. I says the Gemara Ihochi ki taritzi nami doiv tarbo bal babisra. So I say, but again, I don't understand. So then, forget about resting one piece of meat on top of another piece of meat. Why aren't we concerned that on the side of meat itself, the chalev of that side of meat will drip onto the meat itself that it's situated upon and get absorbed into it? To which the Gemara says, "Karma mafsik mitasoi." There is a membrane, Rabbi said, between the chalev and the meat, which prevents absorption into the meat from occurring. Ihaki, the Gemara says, "You're right." And by the way, Ihaki meiloi top of test, mei 9a top line, meiloi nami karma ika. So we'll say, by the way, there's a membrane on top of the chilev as well. In other words, the chilev itself is encased by a membrane, says the Gemara. That membrane is between the chilev and the meat, and therefore, again, that's why we're not concerned about the chilev getting absorbed into the meat upon which it is situated. But that membrane actually wraps around the chilev as on top of the chilev as well. In which case, even if you rest the side of meat on top of another piece of meat, why should we be concerned about chilev absorption? To which the Gemara answers, Aidi dimimash misha yada detapcha miftach. Apparently, the membrane itself is very, not fragile, but it dissolves quickly. Not porous, it dissolves quickly. So in other words, as soon as you touch it, I guess fragile is right there. As soon as you touch it, essentially, again, it crumbles. So the part of the membrane that's between the chalev and the meat, so really a person is not touching that until the point that they remove the chalev. Once you remove the chalev anyway, it doesn't matter. But halacha lemaisa, again, the membrane on the top part of the piece of meat, once it's touched, pretty much it dissolves and crumbles. Therefore, if it is placed ultimately on top of another piece of meat, we are concerned about absorption. Good. We'll say Testament Aleph 9, 8, second line down. Vam Rav Yehuda Amarav. Another interesting halacha. We'll say, listen to this. This is really fascinating. Talmud Chacham, Zarach Sheyimol Gil Dvarim. We'll say, every Talmud Chacham, every self-respecting Talmud Chacham, needs to know at least three things. Number one, Ksav. I'll say, this is actually quite interesting. Ksav Rashi says, Lichtov Sheyad Sheyeda Lachtom Yad Shmo Ilu Yeshe Badin Ola Idus. He has to know how to write. He has to know how to write. Specifically, he has to know how to sign his name. Why? Because in the event that he is called upon to witness something, to be a witness or something, to adjudicate something, he has to know how to sign his name. Then I will say, so this is interesting, like what does that mean, right? Meaning writing, we would assume, is just the basic skill. How can you be Talmud Chacham without writing? Similarly, shouldn't bring down what it means is he has to have a clearly legible and definable signature. Next, Shechita, you have to know how to shecht. Because it will say, ultimately, again, you never know where you're going to end up and what the infrastructure is, where you're going to be. You have to have that skill set. Umila and brismila. So we'll say, interesting. In other words, you got to be kind of like a one-man show. You have to know how to sign your name. We assume you know how to pass in the halacha. You have to know how to assign your name so that you can pass in halacha. You have to know how to shecht. And you have to know how to do brismila. Rabbi Chanina bar Shamya Mishmei Dirav Amar, Af Kesha Shel Tfilin, Ubirchas Chasanin Vitzitis. So we'll say, so the list is growing a little bit. Rabbi Chanina bar Shamya says, you also have to know how to adjust and make the knot of tefillin. Again, I both say, this is what it's saying is, a Talmud Chacham has to be someone who is capable of taking care of the basic day-to-day and life cycle needs as well. So ultimately, again, Shechita, Mila, Ksav, Kesha Shel Tefillin, Birchas Chasanim. Now we'll say Birchas Chasanim means you have to know the brachas of a wedding and Sheva brachas by heart. By heart. Right? So the idea is that you should be able, somebody stops on the street, you need to do shit quick, right? You got to be able to perform under pressure. I don't have my sitter, I don't have this, I don't have that. You got to be ready to go at a moment's notice. Vitzitzis. and you have to know how to make tzitzis. So we'll say, so again, this list is really fascinating. So if you, so again, according to the first opinion, it's ksav shchita mila, Rabbi Chanina bar Shamya, it's kesher shel tefillin, birchas chasanim, and tzitzis. I v'idach, so we'll say, so why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda go ahead and include these last three of tefillin? Kesher shel tefillin, birchas chasanim, and tzitzis. Hani shchichon. Because we'll say those are more obvious, right? More obvious or more common. In other words, that again, shchita mila is a more defined skill set, right? Ksav, I don't know, ksav is not to say it's defined the skill set, but I guess to have a discernible signature is a little bit more of an avoda. So those are more defined. Tefillin, kesher shel tefillin, because something you're doing every day. Tzitzis, you're doing it every day. Birchas chasanim, okay, it's brachas. So it goes, those are easier skill sets to absorb. Listen to this next case. We'll say any butcher or any shochet who doesn't know the laws of shchita, you cannot eat of his shchita. Now, we'll say what's fascinating to note about this is as follows. Now, what does this mean? A tabach, a butcher, a shochet doesn't know shchita. We'll say it's very simple. He knows how to perform the act. He just doesn't know the halachos. So in other words, he knows how to cut. I guess going back to what we learned before, he's what we would call a muchzak, right? Remember again, we had the mumcha and the muchzak. So the muchzak is a guy who what? The muchzak is a guy, ultimately, again, who's demonstrated his ability to perform an act of shechita. He knows how to shecht. Just because he knows how to shecht doesn't mean he knows the halachos. So the Gemara says, any shochet, any tabach, any butcher who shechted, who doesn't know halachos shechita, you are not allowed to eat from his shechita. What are the halachos of shechita? Velo in halachos shechita. So we're actually not going to get into this now because we'll talk about this in greater depth later. But the halachos of shechita are shehiya, drasa, chalada, hagrama, and ikur. So I'll say ultimately what this really means is these are the things which invalidate shechita. Right? So again, we'll discuss all of them. There's shehiyas, which is pausing, jirasa, which is pressing, chalada, which is borrowing. These are all different ways to cut the siman, which would invalidate. Ikur, right? Hagrama means dragging. Ikur means stabbing. So we'll say, so again, if it's not proficient in these halachas, then what? Then halacha l'maaseh shechita is possible. Ma'ak kamash balon, kula tanina. So we'll say, so, okay, wait, what's the chiddush here? We know how, obviously, we can't trust you to do a shechita if what? If you don't know the halachas. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what the novelty is. Lo tzricha, sheshachat lefaneinu beis v'gimel pamim, v'shachat shapir. We'll say, what's the case? The case is where this guy shechted in front of us already two or three times. We've seen his shechita, and what do we have to say about his shechita? The man knows what he's doing, right? This guy shechts like nobody's business. And he's supposed to say, so again, goes back to what we said before, it's what we would call a muchzak. It's someone ultimately, again, who clearly knows how to shecht, but we also that he does not know the halachas. So I might have thought that what ma'udatema midi idach shapir shachat shapir hay nami shachat shapir. I would have thought like this. Listen, the guy has a track record. He has a chazaka that he knows what he's doing. From the fact that the two or three that I saw ultimately again were done very well, I could assume that this one, which wasn't done in front of me, but I only have the animal after the fact, was done as well. Kamashmalon kevan de lo gamir zimnin deshay v'daris v'lo yada. Both said this is actually an incredible Gemara. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Kamash walon no." That halacha lemaisa. If I guess, see what the Gemara seems to be saying is, if halacha lemaisa, I witnessed the shechita. So okay, I could attest then to the validity of the shechita. But if I did not witness the actual shechita, then halacha lemaisa, I cannot assume the man knows what he's doing if he doesn't know the halacha. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because as we'll see in the laws of shechita, there are very small mistakes you can make that ultimately, again, could invalidate the shechita. Now, those mistakes will not change the way the finished product looks. So you will not be able to tell from the finished product if the mistakes were made or not. But again, if a person doesn't know what he's doing, halacha l'maaseh, he can end up making these mistakes and not even realize that he made the mistakes. And Shabbos, like, if you think about it, is an exceptionally profound mussar in life. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't even know the mistakes that you're making. It's not just true for Hilchos Shechita, it's true for all areas of halacha within our Yiddishkeit, which is why it's always so important to go in and continuously broaden our halachic knowledge horizons, because sometimes we end up doing things wrong, not chas v'shalom out of malice, but just because you don't know. If I don't know, I cannot prevent myself from making mistakes. It's incredible halachas. The butcher, the shochet, has to check the simanim, has to check the signs after shechita. So it says, the Gemara, it has to be checked after shechita. Amar Rav Yosef, afanan nami tinen. We also learn this. Reb Shimon Omer, what this means is that even after the shechita, the simanim have to be checked. Even though we just said before that certain things, invalidations could occur. If halacha lemaisa again, and the simanim could look fine, nevertheless, there's an obligation of simanim review, simanim investigation. When we say simanim, by the way, we're talking about the cut windpipe and the esophagus. They have to be examined after the shechita. So Rabbi Yosef, af anan nami tanino. So Rabbi Yosef said, you're right, we already learned this. What did we learn? Rabbi Shimon Omer, im shah kidei bikur. So we'll say, listen to this. We're going to see that the first psul mentioned regarding shechita is what's called shehiya. So shehiya means pausing. The halacha is shechita must be done in one swift act. You cannot pause. Now we're going to discuss why, but in a nutshell, the reason you cannot pause is that we are concerned that if you pause in the middle of shechita, the animal will die as a result of non-shechita reasons. Right? This animal will suffer, whatever it might be. We'll discuss it in greater depth, but you're not allowed to pause during Shechita. Shechita must be done quickly. So Rabbi Yosef says, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Im Shakadei Bikur, if you went ahead and you, what is the sheer Shehiya? Right? How long, if you wait, does it invalidate the Shechita? How long, if you pause, does it invalidate the Shechita? So the Braisa says, Kadei Bikur. Kadei Bikur literally means what? The amount of time for investigation. Investigation of what? My love, could they bikur simanim? Rabbi say, does this not mean bikur simanim? Ultimately, again, to check the kana and the besha, to check the windpipe and the esophagus after the shechita. So we see again that halacha lemaisa, you have to check the simanim even after the shechita. Amrali Abaye said, no. Lo hachim Rabbi Yochanan, could they bikur chacham? No, in fact, what it means is it's the amount of time that it would take to go ahead and take the knife to a Talmud Chacham, to go ahead and show the Talmud Chacham the Shechita knife. But I'll show you something amazing. Look at Rashi, Kadei Bikur Chacham. It's almost like right across in Rashi, about six lines down from where we are in the Gemara. Kadei Bikur Chacham, this is amazing. Livdok Hasakin, to take the Shechita knife, to show it to the Chacham. Shatabach Tzorach Laharos Hasakin L'Chacham Ha'ir. So apparently, one of the ways in which we give kavod to the ranking Talmud Chacham in the city is that the shochtim show him their shechita knife, right? And they allow him to go ahead and inspect the shechita knife. Interesting halacha. Again, Rashi quotes, we're going to see this in tomorrow's daf. So the idea over here is as follows. The Gemara suggests that the amount that qualifies as a shehiya, as a pause in Shechita with which to invalidate Shechita, is Kedei Bikur, is ultimately, again, the amount of time that it would take to take the knife to the Chacham and for the Chacham to go ahead and inspect the knife. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because the Gemara says, Nasata Devarecha L'Shi'urim, says the Gemara, here's the problem. If that's the shear, then what you've done is you've created a subjective shear. Why, Rabbosai? Because if shehiya is the amount of time that it takes to take the knife to the Chacham to show him the knife, so that amount of time is dependent on what? Where's the Chacham? Where's the Chacham? Is the Chacham standing next to me? Is the Chacham a block away? Rabbosai, now we know in general, when it comes to shiurim, so halacha lemaisa, we like to give objective shiurim. So what does this mean? To which the Gemara says, no, ella kadei biker tabach chacham. No, rather what it means is as follows. It means that if the shochet himself is the Talmud Chacham, and he would be checking his own knife. So therefore, again, the amount of shihir, Rabbi says, the amount of time it would take for the shochet himself, who, if he were to be the ranking Kamut Chacham in the city, to inspect his own knife, which is a couple of seconds. Doesn't take long to go ahead and check the laws. But again, so halacha lemaisa, the Gemara is suggesting that the shochet has to investigate or has to look at. He has to look at, to review the simonim post-shechita, but yet, again, the proof that we tried to bring to that did not exactly materialize. Lo badak mai. We'll say, what happens if halacha lemaisa, the simonim were not inspected post-shechita? So what's the status of the meat? Lo badak mai. So the Gemara says, so listen to this. Rabbi Eliezer ben Antigonus, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Yanai Amar, Trefa v'asura b'achila. If you do not inspect the simonim after the shechita, the animal is considered to be a trefa and aser b'simanim. Let's say quite dramatic. Trefa and aser b'simanim. B'masni satana, nevela, or metama b'masa. We'll say in the Brisa we learned, it's not a trefa, but rather it's a nevela. We'll say, what's the chilik between a trefa and a nevela? So remember again, a nevela conveys tumah. Right? A trefa is an animal, ultimately, again, that has some type of disqualifying factor. A nevela is just an animal that died of non-shechita causes. A nevela conveys tumah, a trefa does not. So bottom line, both Rabbi Eliezer ben Antigonus and Rabbi Yanai are both saying that what? That halacha lemai, or I should say, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Yanai, are both saying that the animal is not good, is not fit for consumption. The machlokes is what's its status. First opinion says it's a trefa, asra b'achila. Second opinion says it's an avela and actually conveys tumah. But my kemef, so what are they arguing about? B'dir Rav Huna. They're arguing Rav Huna. Da'amar, is actually quite fascinating, because Rav Huna says, behema b'chaya b'cheskas isur omedes. An animal, while it is alive, has a cheskas isur, has the status of isur. So I'll say, what's the status of isur when the animal is alive? Look at Rashi. Behema b'cheskas isur omedes. This is amazing. Shere asura mishum iver menachai. I'll say, very simple. When an animal is alive, it has a cheskas isur. What's the isur? Iver menachai. Right? If you were to rip off a limb of that animal, you would be in a violation of taking a limb from a living animal. Therefore, again, Rashi says, Hilchach, im nolad safik mishchitasa. If you shechted the animal, and there is now a safek in the aftermath of the shechita, or there's a safek in the shechita. Because remember again, what's happening in this case? I have failed to check the simanim after the shechita. So now there's a safek, is the shechita good or not? Ubasa lahamida al cheskasa, shari bechol davar ato omer heeme davar al cheskasa, shahaya mitchila, shen yachol lotzia mimena aide safek. Nimtseis omer shebehema zu asura, shari becheskas esur haisa tchila, umisafek atabala atira, shamanishchata midrai, al tatira misafek, actually, let's say, watch this. So the Gemara, let's go back to the Gemara. Pema bechaya becheskas esur medes. Here's what we know. The animal, when it's alive, has a chazaka. What's the chazaka of a living animal? It's usher. Why is it usher? Avram and Achai. Okay. So an animal has a cheskas isher. Until when? Ad sheyivadelecha b'manishchata. Until you know ultimately again how it was shechted. Nishchata harihi b'cheskas heter. Once it's been shechted appropriately, then it has a cheskas heter. Ad sheyivadelecha b'manishchata. Unless you become absolutely clear that it's no longer in a cheskas heter and it has become a trefa. The Rabbi says, so watch this. So what we're saying over here is that an animal has different states of chazaka. While the animal is alive, it has a cheskas iser, Avram and Achai, right? And that iser remains there until when? Until you know with absolute certainty that a proper shechita has occurred. Once you know with absolute certainty that a proper shechita has occurred, then what? Then what? What's the chazaka? Cheskas heter. That cheskas heter remains until when? Until you could definitively prove that there was something wrong with the shechita, right? But until you could definitively prove that the cheskas heter remains and the animal is not a trefa, the animal is kosher. So watch this, Rabosei. Mar savar becheskas iser kaima v'hashtameisihi. Rabosei, listen to this. So the first opinion holds like this, that in this case where you failed to check the simanim, therefore what? You cannot go ahead and assume that the animal had a proper shechita. So because I can't assume the animal had a proper shechita, therefore what? The animal must remain in its initial chazaka. What was the initial chazaka? What was the initial chazaka? Right? Iser Eivar Menachai. But now what's the problem? The animal is dead. Right? So both say, so therefore what? The only thing I could possibly say is the animal had a chazaka being an Avram and a Chai animal, right? It was Cheska Sisser, and now it died. I don't know if it died with Shechita or didn't die with Shechita, but it's dead. Because it's dead, ultimately, what am I going to treat it as? I'm going to treat it as an Avela, and therefore, again, it conveys Tuma. That's the first opinion. Umar Savar Becheskas Isser Aminon, Becheskas Tuma Lo Aminon. The second opinion will say, I agree with you in principle, but at the end of the day, that Cheskas Isser is only enough to say that the meat is prohibited. It's not enough to actually create an Isser Tumah. Rashi says, Umar Sar Becheskas Isser Aminon, Ula Achiluhu Shene Aseres Kodim Shechita, and the Tumah Lo Aminon, Shari Basra Minachai Eino Metameh. Because we'll say, the second opinion will say, I don't understand where you're getting Tumah from. Because even if you say that the animal should go back to its original Cheskas Isser, so we'll say, let's say again, you were to rip off a limb of an animal, living animal. Let's say Iver Minachai. So what's the Isser of Iver Minachai, we'll say? It's an Isra Achila. You're not allowed to eat it. Does Iver Minachai convey Tumah? Absolutely not. So both say, so what's interesting is both opinions are saying that in the absence of being able to prove that halacha l'maisa, this was a bona fide shechita, the animal goes back to its last known chazaka. What's the last known chazaka? Cheskas Isser, Avram Menachai. The first opinion will say it had a cheskas Isser, but now it's dead. Because now it's dead, you have to treat it as an avela. If it's an avela, ultimately what it gives off, it conveys tumah. Second opinion will say, no, it goes back to its cheskas Isser. But even in its cheskas Isser of Avram Menachai, that only creates an Isser Achila, does not create an Isser tumah. So Gufas will say, the Gemara analyzes this. So we'll say, let's go back for just a moment. So Rav Huna says something very interesting. When an animal is alive, it has a cheskas iser, right? Its status is aser. Let's say theme of this. A living animal is aser ba'achila. Why? Because a living animal is aver min achai. So therefore again, until you know that it was shechted in a proper way. Nishkata. Once you know that it was shechted in a proper way, becheskas heter omedes. Ultimately, again, it has a cheskas heter. Ad shivad lecha b'man nitrafa. Until you know definitively that there is a problem. See, both say the way chazaka works is chazaka doesn't change unless you have absolute clear proof that the chazaka has changed. So, for example, when the animal is alive, it has a cheskas isra eva minachai. That chazaka only changes when. When you know that you have a bona fide shechita. Once it's shechted, the animal is mutter l'achila. That heter l'achila only changes when you know for sure that there's a problem. So the Gemara says like this, v'leima nishchata hotra. So the Gemara asks, why don't you just say, so we'll say, the interesting lashon is nishchata becheskas heter omedes. Why don't you just say nishchata hotra? Once it's been shechted, it's mutter. What do you mean nishchata becheskas hetra? The verbiage doesn't seem right. Just say nishchata hutra. Hakamash v'lan da'afagav de'isyalid ba'reyusa. And both say, no, because the Gemara is trying to bring down a novelty, which is that even though something happened in the meat after the shechita still has, or the meat still has a cheskas heter. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi in the intermediate lines, three lines before it gets very wide. The afagav disyala bareyusa, shenolod bas safek trefus, safek kodim shechita haya, v'yesh litloso bela acher shechita, mukminan la cheskas heter, distam behena in. Something really amazing. Let's say again, I shechted the animal, and then what happens after the shechita was good? After the shechita, I find some potential trefa issue, and what's my suffix? I don't know if the trefa issue. Again, we'll give examples of this. I don't know if the trefa issue occurred after the shechita or before the shechita. So what's the halacha? What is the Gemara saying? That after the animal had a proper shechita, becheskas heter omedes, which means we assume that the animal was kosher at the time of shechita, and that little trefa issue that now you're finding in the meat, when did that come up? That must have come up now. That must have come up post-shechita, and they will say, obviously anything that happens in the meat after shechita is not going to invalidate the ability to consume that meat. So we'll say, Sigmar is going to give examples of this. Both listen to this. As Rabbi Abba asked Rav Huna, listen to this case. Bozev. So we'll say, here's the case. Here's the case. Bozev. V'notel b'nei me'ayimahu. So we'll say, what happens if a wolf came along and I shechted the animal, opened up the animal. Obviously, after you shecht the animal, you open up the animal, there are certain parts of the body you need to inspect as well. You went ahead, and a wolf came along and took the intestines. Took the intestines. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Mahu, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? To which the Gemara says, Natal, halacha. What do you mean, what's the halacha? If the intestines aren't here, the intestines aren't here. I mean, you can't eat them. No kishka the Shabbos, right? But I'm saying, what's the shayla? What's the shayla? To which the Gemara says, Ella, listen to this. Ella, nakav b'nei me'ayi mahu. The Bo said, rather, here's what happened. The ze'ev takes the intestines, and when he brings it back, we find holes, either a hole or more than one hole, in the intestines. The Bo said, a hole in the intestines is a simen trefa. If you were to know that that animal had holes in its intestines, at the end of the day, right before you shechted it, that animal would be a trefa. So what's the issue? The issue is now I get it back from the wolf, and it has holes in the intestines. Mau. So the Gemara says, Mau. Nekev. Haka chazina dahabu nekvinu. So we'll say, so again, I don't understand. What's the question? The question ultimately is, I see that the wolf made the puncture holes. Ella, notlan vechzirin kishen nekuvin. Let's clarify the question. The wolf took it, right? And again, the wolf returned it, and it had puncture holes. Mahu. Michai shinan shemba b'makom nakav. Nikev. Olo. But we'll say, here's the interesting question. Okay, I can attribute the punctures in the intestines to the wolf. That I can do. The shayla that I have to worry about that maybe there were already pre-existing puncture holes in the intestines in the very place that the wolf bit down as well. In other words, do I have to be concerned that maybe the intestines were already punctured? I'm not going to know about that previous puncture because the wolf punctured it in the same place. To which you Amalei, in choshesh and shema b'makom nakav nikev. We are not choshesh, Rabbi Osei, that halacha lemaisa, the place where the wolf bit the intestines, there was already a pre-existing puncture. We're not worried about that. To which the Gemara says, really, is that true? Eisvei, the Gemara raises the kasha. Eisvei, ra'at sipor ha-menakeh b'te'ino. If you see a bird pecking away at a fig, va'achbar ha-menakeh b'avatichim, or a mouse going ahead and nibbling away at melons, what's the halacha? Ha-mebeis choshishin shema b'makom nakav nikev. I will say, I have to be concerned about the following. That maybe in the place where the bird pecked or the mouse nibbled, Rashi points out, maybe there was already a pre-existing hole. I will say, now what am I concerned about ultimately again with the pre-existing hole? What I'm concerned about, Rabbi Osei, is a snake. Rashi points out that maybe a snake bit into this fig or bit into this melon, injected its venom, and therefore I'm not allowed to eat this al sakana. To which the Gemara says, so you see from here, Rabbi Osei, Choshishin, Shema b'makom nekev nikev. I am concerned that the same place where the bird pecked, or the same place ultimately where what? Where the mouse nibbled, that maybe a snake got there first, but I can no longer see that the snake got there. Why not? Because the bird covered its tracks, the snake's tracks, or the mouse covered the snake's tracks. So we'll say, so you see from here that what? That you are concerned for a pre-existing condition. So therefore, going back for just a moment, when the wolf takes the intestines, punctures the intestines with his fangs, I should be concerned that maybe there was a pre-existing puncture in the intestines, which rendered the animal a trefa, which tells that the animal is not fit for consumption. Amar Leis, he said to him, Mikamedamis Isur Lesakanta, you're mixing two different cases, Rabbi Osei. One is a case of Isser, the case of the intestines is a case of Isser. The case over here of the bird pecking into the fig, or the mouse nibbling at the melons, and a concern that maybe a snake got there first, but ultimately, again, the snake's involvement was masked by the bird and the mouse. We'll say that's a case of sakana. This whole idea, so we'll say, in general, we say, sakana shiny. I will say, any time that we are ever dealing with sakana, halacha always deals with dangerous situations in a more chumer fashion than iser situations. So the Gemara is suggesting over here is, you're right, when it comes to iser, I am not concerned that there was a pre-existing condition. So when it comes to Isser, I am not concerned that in a place where the wolf bit down on the intestines, that there was a pre-existing puncture hole. That I'm not concerned with. But when it comes to snake venom, which is an issue ultimately again of sakana, I absolutely am concerned that maybe the place where the bird pecked, a snake was there first. Maybe the place where the mouse nibbled, a snake was there first. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Rava, Maishna Safik Sakanta Lachumra, Safik Yisur Nami Lachumra. So I said, I still don't understand. Just like again, we would say that a Safik Sakana, you go Lachumra, so why wouldn't we say that a Safik Isur is also Lachumra? So we'll say, so Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, Rava, what are you talking about? Below Shani Ben Yisur Sakanta, are you ignoring the fact that Halacha always makes a distinction between Isser and Sakana? Right? You must say there's a difference between things that are Usser, Alts being Usser, and things that are Usser, Alts Sakana. He gives an example. The Gemara says, Vaha'i, listen to this. Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim, Sveik Otar. I must say, there's an interesting Halacha when it comes to Tumah, that if you have a case of Safek Tumah in a public domain, Safek Tumah that occurs in a public domain, the halacha is sfeik o tahar. The halacha is a safik is tahar. We'll discuss why that is in just a moment. Right? So the Gemara says, yet, v'ilu safik mayin megulin asurin. Both say there's a halacha that says that one is not supposed to drink water that is left open overnight out of concern that a snake may have come and ultimately injected its venom into it. So I'll say, you know, there's a whole discussion about whether or not we have to observe this particular halacha today. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a whole discussion about this. He explains, we're not really so nishar, or many are not nishar, on Mayin Megulin today, is because we live in more urban areas. And therefore, again, the concern ultimately that the snake's gonna come to my water and inject its venom, that was reflective of certain realities that they were living with. So we don't have those same type of realities. Nevertheless, there are still plenty of people who are, it's still brought down in Shulchan Aruch about Mayim Megulin. In any event, so the point that Abai is trying to make over here is as follows. If you have a case of Safek Tumah Birshus HaRabim, the halacha is Sveiko Tahor. Right? A case of doubtful Tumah in a public domain, again, Safek is Tahor. Yet, Safek Mayin Megulin. Right? What's Safek Mayin Megulin, Abai say? I have doubt. Did I leave my water uncovered or not? What's the halacha? Asurin. Shabbos say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? That Safek Isser is treated more chummer, Safek Sakana is treated more chummer than Safek Isser. So Abai says to Rava, I don't understand how you're ignoring the fact that we treat Sakana different than Isser. To which Rava responds, no. You're wrong. Amalei Hasam, Hilchasa Gemiri La Misota. The fact that Safek Toma Birshus HaRabim is Tahor is not a din in Safek Isser. It's a din in Safek Toma, and it's a din ultimately learned out from Sota. Mas Sota Birshus HaYachid, Af Toma Birshus HaYachid. Rabosai, Sota becomes to a certain degree a little bit of the paradigmatic case for Tuma. Even though, again, it's a different kind of Tuma, it's not a ritual Tuma, but again, it's a physical defilement through potential adultery. But the idea of Sota, Rabosai, is that what happens? Halacha Lamaisa, the process of Sota is triggered only if she engaged in doubtful, in suffic behavior, Birshus HaYachid. Only if she was secluded with someone. So Rabbi says, so from Sota we learn that it is only a Safek Toma Birshus HaYachid which we must contend with. But any Safek Toma Birshus HaRabim automatically will be Tahor. To which Rabbi responds to Abaye, you can't bring a raya that Safek Sakana is more chamer than Safek Isser, because the case that you brought for Safek Isser is a case of Safek Toma Birshus HaRabim, and the fact that we are Mekel on Safek Toma Birshus HaRabim is just the din that's learned out from Sota. Massive Rav Simi. So we'll try to prove this a different way. Sheres b'fi chulda. Listen to this interesting case. You have a dead rodent in the mouth of a chulda. Chulda is a weasel. So the weasel is carrying a dead rodent. The chulda mahaleches al kikaros shel truma. And the weasel is now walking on top of loaves of truma. So we'll say, so what's the shayla? Well, first of all, call the exterminator, right? That's what you got. Big tzaras. But the issue over here is, can you eat the kikar shuma? Now, again, I want to point something out. The weasel walking on top of the loaves by itself is not a halachic problem, right? A live sheretz does not go ahead and convey any kind of tumah. What's the issue at play over here? The issue at play is, did the dead sheretz in the mouth of the weasel touch the kikaros or not? So the Gemara says, Safek Naga, Safek Lo Naga. We're not sure, did again the dead sheretz touch the loaves or not? To which the Gemara says, Safek Otar. Dalach is a Safek Istar. Safek Istar. V'ilu, yet Rabosai, says the Gemara, yet says Osimi, Safek Mayim Megulin Asurin.
I will say, what's the halacha? So again, this is amazing. I'm not sure. Did the dead sheretz in the mouth of the weasel walking on the loaves like Chagadya, right? Did the dead sheretz in the mouth of the weasel walking on the loaves touch the loaves or not? When it says no, not about it. Sfeik otar. And yet what? I'm not sure if I left my cup of water on the counter overnight. What's the halacha? Asur. Asur. So what are you seeking, Rabbi Osei? Again, what we're trying to prove, this assertion, Abai's assertion, that again, that Isser is, oh, excuse me, that Sakana is always treated more chamer than Isser. This seems to point to that. See, he says, no, no, no. The Gemara says, Hasam Nami, you keep bringing up Tumah. Tumah is not a good place to bring this argument from. Hilchasa Gemiri Lami Sota. They both say the laws of Tumah very much are learned out from Sota. Mas Sota, Dover Shiyesh Bodas Lisha. Both say, just like Sota, a Sufik Tumah Birshus Hayachid only becomes Tumah when? With someone who has capacity to be able to answer questions, so you could ask what happened, meaning that's the case of the woman. Av Hachanami Dover Shiyesh Bodas Lisha. Sota will say, any case, you see, we will normally say, Sufik Tumah Birshus Hayachid is Aser, or is Tameh. That's how we'll say it. That's learned out from Sota. Just like Safik Toma Bershos HaRabim is Tor. They both say, for that to work, it has to be modeled after Sota. Just like the Sota process involves human beings who have Das, and therefore can answer questions, so too the only time we will say that Safik Toma Bershos HaYochid is Tameh is only when it's Yesh Bo Das Lishoel. Only when ultimately, again, you're dealing with entities which have capacity to answer questions. But in this case, over here, Rashi says, Sheish Bodas Lishoel, Imnitmu Im Lav Vasura, Menasavik Bashus Ayachit, Afko, Rashi, Savik Tumas Amaurus, Bemishi, Ishwan Das Lishoel, Grigon Adam, Shavar Boil, Sheres on Avela, Savik Naga, Savik Nona Bashus Ayachit, Seiko Tame, Aval Kikaros, Shemon Das Lishoel, no, so in this case over here, where the Kikaros, which are the affected items, do not have the ability, obviously, to answer or to discuss what occurred, so ultimately that type of suffix tuma will be tahor. So I'll say, so once again, the Gemara is trying to prove this idea that sakana is more chomer than iser, but keeps bringing up cases of tuma, to which the Gemara says, stop it with the tuma already. Because again, the laws of tuma rabosai are a parasha unto themselves, are modeled after sota. Because of that, you cannot draw any general principles about Isser from Tumah. So we'll try again. Ravashi. So Ravashi says as follows. Say, Tashma, Tzluchis Sheniach Megula. An interesting case. You leave Rabbi say, in this case over here, I have a Tzluchis. What's in my Tzluchis? Rashi says, Shemal Uha, right across in Rashi. We'll start this case. We'll have to stop in a moment. Tzluchis Shemal Uha Mayim Chayim Lamechatos. So we'll say, in this case over here, I have a jug of water that is filled up with Mayim Chayim. What's Mayim Chayim? Spring water. I'm going to use this to mix it with the ashes of the para aduma. Va'adayin lo niskatshu be'efer. I have not yet mixed in the ashes. So, be'efer, de'im niskatshu tmeh. So, we'll say, listen to this. So, now I have my jug of spring water. That spring water is going to ultimately be mixed with the ashes of the para aduma. And what happened? She'nicha megula. I left it open. And I'll say something very interesting happens. Uba matza mechusa. I come back, and what happens? I find that it's covered. So what's the halacha? Tmeya. The halacha is the waters are unfit for use. Why? Sha'ani omer adam tamei nichnas l'sham b'kisa. Because I assume, ultimately, again, a tamei person must have come in, and he must have covered it. Hinicha mechusa, if I left the water covered, so we'll say, and therefore, again, the tamei person manipulated it, and therefore, again, it's going to be aser. Hinicha mechusa, if I left the water covered, uba matza magula, and I come back and I find the water uncovered, so listen to this. Im yichol l'chul d'lishdos mimena, o nachash l'divrei Rabbi Gamliel. If a weasel could get in there, or a snake could get in there, according to Rabbi Gamliel includes the snake. We'll see what this means in just a moment. Oh, sheyarad batal balayla, or it's possible that dew came into the receptacle over the course of the night, psula. Ultimately, again, it will be possible. So we have to stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this case of the Tzluchis first thing tomorrow morning.